of the social sciences, it in turn will have made a great contribution to the better understanding of what makes man tick and, if you like, what the chances are for reducing the risks of war and increasing the chances for peace and security. Now, that means, therefore, that the task that lies before UNESCO here is one of receiving aid, on the other hand, giving aid in order to focus attention upon a great need at the present time, at this point in the world's history. We have never so desperately needed the assistance of social sciences. We have never in our history, in the history of mankind, come to a similar situation in which we were so absolutely sure about the way in which we could completely abolish ourselves, destroy ourselves, at the same time be so far away from really understanding how to keep ourselves from doing it. Now, here, that is therefore, from my point of view, the most important thing for UNESCO to focus its attention upon. Conversely, if anything can be done to channel more and more human energies, as well as resources, human beings, persons, into the study of human relations, in the causes of human action, real contributions may still be made for the increase of our chances of peace and security. Now, the political scientists, of course, can meantime be making very interesting contributions, as they are, in fact, under some of the UNESCO projects. I should say immediately that I'm not merely talking about the future here all the time. UNESCO, for the last 2.5 years, has been stimulating research into tensions. For the last 2.5 years, has had a series of community studies underway on a comparable basis in a series of countries in 24 different places. The results of these researches are beginning to come in now and will probably be available for publication sometime within the next 6 to 8 months. The political scientists have been mobilized by UNESCO to quite a remarkable degree to assist in making a series of studies on the nature of the international organizations and what needs to be done to make them run better. What do I mean by that? Well, international conferences are still run pretty much on the basis of the limited international experience of the League of Nations, superimposed upon essentially the Western world concept of the way in which a legislative body ought to be run. International conferences are far from ideally run in order to achieve an agreement among people, to secure a consensus. If you consider, for example, to put yourself in the same position, if you put yourself, take yourself to a country completely foreign to your own, to a culture completely foreign to your own, and go to speak in a language completely foreign to your own, and participate then in an international conference and try to achieve an end that you have set, you have some idea of what is happening to the delegates of probably 3/4 of the member states of the United Nations and UNESCO. I mean, does it ever occur to you how few of the people in the United Nations Assembly or in a UNESCO conference are speaking their native tongue when they speak English or French? It's a minority group that has decided what the language shall be. It's a minority group, by and large, that has imposed Robert's Rules of Order or some adaptation thereof upon international conferences. I've thought sometimes, as I've sat through discussions of the United Nations, assembly after assembly, or our own general conference, excuse me, that it might be extremely useful if, while a man is speaking and doing his best to make his point, and God knows it's hard in a foreign language, I can tell you about that. While he's doing that, and is using a language which appears to be the language of those out there who are listening, if you could have up here on the screen continually a motion picture, if you like, of the most typical scenes of the country from which he comes, of his own people, so that you realize that he's there as a representative of a people who have their own values, their own ideas, their own rights, their own methods of thinking, and that he may be misleading you by virtue of the fact that he's wearing the same kind of suit of clothes that you do. I sometimes think that one of the most unfortunate things about our whole system of international conferences in this cosmopolitan world life we're developing is the fact that we're all beginning to appear to try to wear, look alike, and thus hiding our differences, which have not disappeared. Not at all. In that respect, I think, of course, it's most unfortunate that the British and the Americans speak the same language because they think they understand each other. I mean, the differences in underneath are terribly great. I'm reminded of an experience I had the other day. Well, it's now nearly a year ago. It seems just the other day. We were having a long discussion in a meeting of the executive board or a committee of the executive board on the responsibilities of the director general and the role of the executive board. And thus we got on to whole questions, doctrines, concepts of administration, public administration, and so on and so on. This thing got fairly bitter at one or two points because it was a question of how far the director general had the right or the duty to lead and how far he should defer to the wishes of the executive board and await their direction. Well, it so happened that while these discussions were going on, the director general was away on a mission and I was acting for him, and I was sitting with this group of the board arguing this question out because it had been perplexing us. I'd regularly felt that the only chance of this organization was to have a strong director general who led. If he failed, fire him, but at least give him a chance to make a mistake, and don't divide responsibility among 19 people. Well, it's a familiar doctrine to American political scientists, to some of them at any rate, but it was not acceptable, as you could well imagine, to a lot of people, particularly not at a time in the world's history when some people were still thinking about dictatorship and who thought the concentration of authority in a man inevitably led to dictatorship. Well, there are other factors in all this. There's the dip, but the essential thing was that there was a difference in concept of administration, and particularly a difference in the meaning of the word administration. The French interpretation, the British interpretation, the American interpretation. It finally got down to a place where the biggest difference was between what was the French interpretation and the American interpretation. And this very interesting event took place. We had gotten to the end of a long discussion one afternoon, and I finally said, well, let me just try once more to make clear what I'm trying to say here. My concept of administration, the way in which I, if you permit me, think it ought to be run. And I, a few choice words, explained my doctrine of administration. Pause, interpretation followed into French. Then a man whose native tongue happens not to be French, but he knows French better than he does English, and he knows it extremely well, raised his hand. He said, I will accept completely what the Deputy Director General has said as it came through in the French translation. And we were back again, you see. And that is the most baffling thing in this whole process, of course, of international organizations, that we have not yet found ways of really communicating with each other. There are values, speak of philosophically, differences in values. There are ways of life that are completely different. There are purposes, there are concepts of what the organization should stand for are completely different because of a different heritage, a different background, a different history. And therefore, I felt that one of the biggest contributions political scientists could make to the organization and to international organizations generally would be to make some concentrated studies of the way in which secretariats function, what the elements are in making secretariats function more effectively and more properly. And we have gotten a series of these studies underway, mostly in the United States, with the collaboration of political scientists and social psychologists. Now, to a conclusion, and I hope some questions. Obviously, it's the sheerest folly to say that the social sciences can give us the answers to all these problems. On the other hand, I think it would be quite serious if, considering the seriousness of the world situation, we didn't capitalize upon the bit of knowledge that the psychologist, the anthropologist, and others can provide us. I personally would hope that the social scientists many of whom have tremendous resources in their brains, could concentrate much more upon these most baffling of the problems of international relations today. Because we face a situation today which is comparable to the situation of a war. It is no different, in fact, from the situation which prevailed during the war. And just as during the war, you mobilized your instruments, if you like, of psychological warfare to get people to understand what it was about, to help them and to find solutions, to break down resistance to ideas which were essential to the winning of the war, so in time of peace, you must have your, what? Your psychological peace fair arm. Maybe that's UNESCO's role. It is necessary for this purpose to mobilize the assistance of social scientists around the world, and particularly in the United States, to help shed light on the causes of human action and interaction, a better understanding of man as a social being, in order that somehow this organization can still make the contribution which it was set up to perform. Because I repeat that UNESCO is an organization that is supposed to contribute to peace and security. To contribute to peace and security, you must first of all, I think, develop a sense of world community and a loyalty to that community. And that is essentially a question of involving the dealing with men's attitudes, men's points of view toward each other and toward the world. That is par excellence in the field of the social sciences. Thank you very much.